Today on Fox Sports On the Road, Major League Baseball all season is kicking into high gear with the MLB winter meetings, as both the Mets and the Yankees are in full gear trying to improve their ball clubs for 2023. We sit down with Julian Gigliotti, a writer for the Somerset Patriots, to break down everything MLB all season and maybe even look ahead to the Patriots as well. You're listening to Fox Sports On the Road. Welcome aboard, everybody, to Fox Sports New Jersey, and this, of course, being Fox on the Road. A little bit of a different path we're taking on this road today, as we are going to take a look at the MLB winter meetings. It has been crazy right now with the Yankees and the Mets all making big-time moves and making big-time names come into the city, or even in some cases like the Yankees and even the Mets come back to the city, for that matter. So we're going to break it all down for you, and joining me is Julian Gigliotti of Out in the Field, and he I got a chance to meet Julian during the summer. He covers the Somerset Patriots for Out in the Field, so we're going to talk a little bit about the Yankees, we're going to talk a little bit about the Mets and the Patriots as well, because whatever the Yankees do obviously could have an effect on the Somerset Patriots as well down the road as we get ready for the 2023 season. Julian, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I also want to shout out Conor Las Bastas for helping me out with the credentials as well. So I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm trying to catch up with all the stuff that took place. My body clock's 3 hours behind. It feels like it's 9:30 in the morning, but it's 12:30. So sleep is a little rough, but I'm kicking through it. I'm ready to get going, and let's see what we're going to get to.
Yeah, I saw your channel. You were really busy out there in San Diego, breaking down all the moves that were happening. I saw your interview with Bob Nightingale as he kind of gave you the scoop before the scoop happened about Brandon Nimmo going back to the Mets. Before we get into all these deals, you know, what was that like for you? Was that your first time doing this out in San Diego?
Well, it was my first time with a credential, and I want to shout out my co-host, Sandy, for coming out and making the trip with me, because she was instrumental in filming and helping me record, and we did some shows together also. And yeah, it was my second time, but the other one wasn't credentialed. It was a fun experience. We talked to Jack Curry, Meredith Marakovic, Eric Bowen, to name a few people. We even got a clip with Nelson Cruz with the WBC stuff going on. So really rewarding experience. Just excited to keep the grind rolling. It's a really cool time out there. I call it like a baseball family reunion in a sense, because like it's the one time a year you got everyone in the same room, all the reporters, managers, GMs, like owners in some cases maybe. Got some players popping in here and there. You got casual fans like observing it, just like hanging out, like kind of trying to blend in. Like it's a lot of different things going on at once.
Absolutely, man. It's just watching it from here back in New Jersey, watching it play out on all the channels, whether it be MLB Network or SNY. Yes, it was crazy. It really was.
And you got Scott Boras out there too, spinning all these analogies about his players trying to drive up his market prices. I got to speak to him. That was a crazy experience. Talking about Rodon, saying the Yankees were very much in play, and they still are, I believe. He gave me the analogy. He was like, there's no shallow how, and then the Yankees are in the infinity pool for Carlos Rodon. And I was like, all right, let's go get him then. So we'll see.
So let's go right into the big fish. Obviously, that was Aaron Judge. That was the one that everyone was waiting for. A lot of people thought he was going to go to the San Francisco Giants. Which was a story in and of itself. But he ends up going back to the Yankees, obviously, 9 years, $360 million. I know that you broke that. You got that story, found out about it very early in the morning out there in San Diego. And two, just your thoughts about him going back to New York and how important that is for him and his legacy.
It was always meant to be. The energy around that hotel was weird when it was Giants. Like, the vibe was kind of strange. People were like, people were on pins and needles. They were just waiting to see if it was going to be Giants. Like, all the buzz in the lobby was Giants. Heyman had the Arson Judge report. I'll go down infamy, obviously, although he redeemed himself and broke a few other stories. But it was just a wild time. But to go back to the Yankees, that's what was always meant to happen. Just to go, he has unfinished business. He's going to win the World Series. Maybe put the C on his chest and everything. Get himself in the Monument Park. Retire his number. Keep the judges' chambers rolling. I thought it was a fair contract, too. The most surprising part to me was San Diego jumping in at 10 for 400. Nightingale also reported that. So San Diego was just going out there spending. But for Judge, I mean, yeah, it's good for him. I'm happy he's back. The impact he has, it goes beyond the stat sheet. It's in the locker room, like his presence on the field as a leader and everything, like how he makes the whole team around him better. All the guys feed off him. No one wants to lose him. Like, they didn't even want to think about a plan B. Like, there wasn't a realistic plan B without Aaron Judge in the fold.
No, there wasn't. And, you know, they were talking about, like, other options were like Brandon Nimmo, who obviously went back to the Mets, but there's really no way to replace a guy like Aaron Judge in the middle of someone's order. I mean, he's their most consistent hitter. I know over the last couple of years, obviously, DJ LeMahieu could make that argument with, but, you know, coming out of 2022, there's nobody that was more of a bigger threat out of the lineup for the Yankees than Aaron Judge. If they had lost him, it would have been very, very hard, as you said, to find a replacement for him. But now that he's back, I think the question a lot of Yankee fans is, okay, well, what's next? You know, they're starting pitching. Is it going to be relief in the bullpen? Is it going to be another outfielder? Obviously, Andrew Benintendi, his market right now is kind of in flux right now. Is he more looked upon as a fourth outfielder at this point? And what about starting pitching? Obviously, Carlos Rodon, someone that is still out there, even as Scott Boras is dropping all kinds of pop culture references as we speak.
Here's how I view it. I'll hit all these points. Absolutely. I feel like bringing back Tommy Gamley was a good move. I'll do bullpen first, quick and easy. Maybe they bring in someone like Andrew Chafin. That's someone who I think makes a lot of sense for the Yankees. Maybe get another lefty in there. They free up a lot of money in the bullpen. Chapman, Brayden Green, Castro, all gone. That's like $40 million almost right there if you add it all up. So that kind of makes way for the Judge contract in a sense because you're giving Judge $20 million more. But in terms of the pitching, I think it's all about Rodon right now. I think he's holding everything up for the Yankees. I think it's like they want to figure out what's happening with Rodon, and then they're going to go from there. And they need to get this thing done. I mean, it's been talked about it so much. Every person I've talked to is linking the Yankees to Rodon. Meredith, Jack, Nightingale, maybe Eric Bowman as well. I mean, it's everywhere. It's all over the place. Like, the Yankees are in there. But Boris, obviously, who might be the most important, being the agent. The thing is that I don't know if the Yankees want to go 6-for-180. Jack was kind of telling me he thinks it's more in a 5-year range they'd be comfortable with. I know some other people said that as well. Would they do a 5-for-150? Would they do 5 for like maybe a little bit more to make the AAV better? Like maybe an option for 6? Like they got to get creative here. To me, it's instrumental because he locks your playoff rotation in. You get him behind Garrett Cole, you get Severino, you get Nestor Cortez. You can go to war with those four, and you can feel good against anyone, I feel like.
I mean, if the Yankees could get a left-handed pitcher, a left-handed starting pitcher, that just helps them so much more because, obviously, with the short port notwithstanding, just to have that kind of matchup against teams in the AL East, you know, who are all lefty dominant, like Baltimore, Boston, Tampa Bay, it would be a huge plus to get a guy like Rodon in there.
He's a beast, too. Like, he had 237 strikeouts last year. His percentage of strikeouts is like 40% K rate. He has pitched like 187 innings, I think, or like 178, somewhere in that range. You just got to watch his shoulder. That's the only drawback with Rodon. And then his ERA was a 2.88, but he's been healthy the last two seasons, and that's important. Just like Aaron Judge has been healthy the last two seasons. That's important. Curry told me he thinks the 157 games is the most important stat for Judge besides the home runs. He thinks that was even more important. And you want to know about Benintendi, you know, this one's giving me interesting vibes. I don't really have, like, a clear answer here. I mean, I know that the Yankees want him back for sure. Their left field has a glaring hole now. I don't think they want to do as well as of starting a left. They want to float him around, move him around the diamond a little bit. Benny's market is complicated because even before Nimmo, Yoshida signed for $90 million, and that seems like a drastic overpay. I mean, I've heard some good things, but a lot of people think that was a huge overpay. My projection was around half of that. I know some other people felt the same. So that kind of messed things up, and then Nimmo gets this crazy deal. So is Benny looking at 5 years, $100 million now? Like, is there I don't see the Yankees handing him that, if that's the case. I really don't. Do they do a high-risk, high-reward thing on Michael – low-risk, high-reward thing on Michael Conforto maybe for a year to try to be like – see if they can catch lightning in the bottle with him? Because he has some good aspects of Yankee Stadium with that lefty swing.
He does. He would fit very well in that. It would be a nice way for him to rehabilitate his career in Yankee Stadium and also going on the road to Boston with their short porch and obviously Baltimore with their basically short porch out there in right field as well. I'm thinking about starting pitching again with the Yankees. Other names that are out there, obviously the two names that everyone keeps floating out there are obviously linked to the Mets as well, Chris Bassitt and Kodai Senga. But the Yankees, you know, again, you can never have enough pitching. I know the Yankees have been linked to Senga at one point. I don't know if they're still in the market now because, you know, it's like a 5 or 6 year deal that he's looking for. Do the Yankees go all in? Hey, look, they've had a lot of success with Japanese pitchers in the past, obviously. What are your thoughts about that?
I actually thought there was a point in time that the Yankees could get Senga, but this is I'll explain my thinking. I don't feel this way anymore, though. I think the roles have been reversed because I thought the Mets were going to get Rodon, and I felt Verlander would maybe do L.A., so, like, obviously that was an inverse thing. I think the Yankees are in a Rodon. I think that's their number one, and the Mets are Senga. I don't think the Mets can afford to pay Rodon after all this money they spent on pitching. I mean, I know they're going crazy in their budgets, like 325 or 330, whatever crazy number it is. But I can't see them adding Rodon on top of that. Like, you got to have, like, some sort of restraint somewhere, I would think. But, like, I think they met Team Zero did on Senga. I think that might be their next move. Chris Bassett, maybe, but I think they're more in on Senga. I think they want some. They want to try to upgrade it. I mean, it is a little risky because he's Japanese, but a lot of good components there. And for the Yankees and Mets, I think Bassett's more of like a Twins or Orioles candidate to me. I feel like the Twins or Orioles will spend a lot on him, and I think he could help them out. But that's just how I see it.
You know, let's take a look at the Mets because they've had a funny kind of week here. I mean, they start off losing DeGrom to the Texas Rangers, you know, 5-year deal, $185 million, and it felt like he took less than away just to get – it kind of felt – a lot of people here in New York kind of felt that he just wanted to get away from the area, just wanted to go elsewhere. They then turn around. They turn into Justin Verlander on a 2-year deal. Then we heard all the rumors that we heard up here. I don't know what your guys are – I don't know what you heard down there. I'm happy to hear what you have – what rumors you heard about Nemo at the time. But up here we were hearing that, you know, it doesn't look like the Mets are going to keep him. The Toronto Blue Jays are in love with Nemo. Sounds like he's going to go to Toronto, won't be Colorado. And all of a sudden at 9 o'clock at night on the East Coast, we hear Brandon Nemo signed an 8-year, $162 million contract with the Mets. And, oh, by the way, they also got David Robertson, too. What are your thoughts?
He's doing something that we've never seen before. I have a lot of thoughts on this. I don't know, like, how this is going to go down, how people are going to try to compete with this, like, if it's even going to work. Like, I mean, spending the money doesn't guarantee you're winning the World Series, and they still have holes in the team. That's a crazy thing. It's not a perfect team. I think they're pretty good. I don't think they're World Series yet. I wouldn't say that right now the top World Series team, in my opinion. But if they keep going, fix the bat lineup a little bit. Yeah, so here's my story with that. Nemo, I was like hearing conflicting things. I thought he was going to be gone. But then when they lost to Grom, I started to think, okay, maybe he'll be back. You know, I saw Billy Epler aggressively on the phone upstairs, like a little bit, I think the day before Nemo came back. I think it might have been the last day we were there, like the day before or something. But, and then they talked to him about that, and he said the door was still open for Nemo. Obviously, Nightingale told me he thought Mets were getting Nemo back. And then, but, yeah, so I guess I started to shift my belief that he was going to end up going back. It made a lot of sense.
Yeah, that was a big contract. I mean, it's, you know, $20.25 million a year. I thought he was going to get a little more than that. They were talking like close to $24-25 million per year for him. Hey, look, I mean, this is the market we now live in where, you know, these guys, they just kind of overinflate their own value, and yet teams have to overpay, and you have to find an owner who's willing to do that. And it seems like Steve Cohen is that guy right now. He's just willing to pay whatever it takes to get this team over the top.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I have to tip my hat to him. It's kind of, I don't even, well, here's the thing. George couldn't spend that much back then because, like, the contracts were lower. Like, there was no way to get a payroll that high, really. But I guess the philosophy similar. He's just going to throw money at the issues and hope that it gets him a World Series. I mean, their farm system's not bad. They do have some talent down there, but it's actually kind of interesting because they don't seem to want to make many big trades. It seems like they just want to spend the money. Like, they don't want to give up their prospects. So, which I kind of admire in a sense, but it's also interesting because you're just spending and spending and spending. Like, this is not going to, I can't see this holding up well over time. Like, it's not sustainable. Like, these contracts are going to end up looking bad in a few years.
It could, especially if players start to age out. That's my one concern with the Verlander trade because, you know, he's now 40 years old. I don't know what you're going to get out of him. I mean, I would suspect he's going to do very well at the start of the year this year, but who knows what's going to happen in September and October.
I feel the same way as you too, but especially because he gets an option for a third. I think that's ridiculous. I mean, I wouldn't give him 3 years for the Yankees. I mean, he's 40. I mean, I think next year you'll be fine. After that, I would start to worry about it. I mean, you have to decline at some point. I mean, and you're paying him so much money to be like the best pitcher in baseball. I don't know how much longer he's going to hold that up. And then Scherzer's getting $40 million plus, and he's aging too. So I don't know if that's a recipe for success. That was my thought on it when it happened. I mean, you got to hope they strike next year because the more kind of builds up, the age is just going to go against them. So we'll see if this strategy pays off. But Steve Cohen's making no mistakes. He's all in. And I'm trying, and the way he's going now, I can see their payroll being like 350 or 360 even. If you add Senga, it's another 20 plus, and then maybe they add some bullpen help and a bat somewhere. Like, I don't know. It's getting pretty crazy.
It's getting pretty crazy. Crazy money getting thrown around right now. Whatever happens, as I said at the start, whatever happens at the start of this could affect the Somerset Patriots one way or the other. How do you think, you know, Judge coming back, as well as what other moves could be made for the Yankees, could affect what kind of roster we may see from the Somerset Patriots at the start of this year as far as players being moved up?
You know, I was trying to piece that together in this article I'm working on. I got to write, like, a bunch of stories still when I get off this. But, like, I'm trying to see how the impact comes together. I mean, I would say now we have the young talent. Judge is going to be there, built around. I mean, it obviously keeps the infield the same. Nothing's going to change there. I mean, the outfield, I guess it puts the kids on hold, although you have an opening in left field potentially. So could they do Conforto to stop, almost like a stopgap? I hate using that term because I don't like how that works with IKF. But, like, could they use Conforto as a stopgap and then call Pereira or Dominguez at some point next season, not this year? I mean, Elijah Dunham is under the radar, in my opinion. I think he can end up making his way up. And they have a lot of options in that outfield. But who are they going to end up trading? You could definitely trade some guys as well. So I think it kind of puts the outfields on hold for now until they got to figure out left field. So infield's the same situation. I think Peraza's going to get a shot to be up there, maybe win the job. For Anthony Volpe, it seems to me that he's going to take a few months in AAA at least before he goes up to the big show. I think they want to see him fully conquer AAA like he did with the Patriots, or at least show a little bit more. I mean, it was a small sample size, so
they brought up Peraza, they brought Cabrera at the end of last year. Both of them contributed in a way, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, how are the Yankees going to do this as far as, you know, Volpe is concerned? You know, do they want to, you know, move pieces around and maybe move someone to third base, and, you know, mm-hmm. so that Volpe could play shortstop? So it's very interesting what they're going to do. Of course, you have Torres in there as well. He keeps being a name that, you know, gets thrown around in trade talks.
I think the Yankees might hold serve because LeMahieu's a little up in the air. I don't know if it makes sense to move out Gleyber Torres because you're not going to start Volpe at opening day at second base, I wouldn't think. Could there be a scenario you put him in second and Peraza at short? Yeah, I could see it, but I don't think it's right away.
Yeah. What about Austin Wells? How far away do you think he is from getting up?
I feel like he could start in AAA next year.
Really?
Maybe. We'll see what they want to do. I mean, I thought he hit pretty well in AA, honestly. I think he showed that he can move up. I think to me, it's just a question of defense. What are they going to do? Is he a catcher? Is he going to be in the outfield? You got Rizzo back, so he's not going to first base. If you didn't get Rizzo back, maybe you could have tried a first base thing with him. So, yeah, people even mentioned him in left field, which is an interesting thought. I personally think they'd like him to catch still because he hasn't taken reps anywhere else. So I think they're going to try that out. And I don't know if we see him next year. I'm not going to go that far yet because if they want him to develop the defense, I feel like it's going to take another year. If they want to get his bat in there maybe for a spark or something, then maybe they push him through if he's hitting well in AAA.
I'm very interested to see how all these pieces start to fall in place, and we'll start to see that as we move along here. We still got more free agency to go here, of course. Julian, before we go, can you talk more about your website and obviously what the coverage you bring, you know, not just with baseball, with the Patriots as well?
Yeah, I can. The one thing I'll say about the Mets, I forgot to throw them before, sure. You'll find funny. As soon as I land home, the two stories break, like Nimmo and then Robertson. I'm like, I didn't bring Rodson home. Sorry, guys, but I got you Nimmo and Robertson to go to the Mets. That was just wild. But okay, Out in the Field's our YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. You can check that out. If you type in Out in the Field Volpe, a lot of things come up. Speaking of the Somerset Patriots, that's a good segue.
That is.
Well, I do highlights of the minor league stuff. Obviously, our season's off right now. We'll do podcasting with them. We do English and Spanish podcasting as well. My friend Sandy does the translations for us. And then we've had a few of those. We had Andres Chaparro on. Twitter, Out in Field. Instagram, Out in Field. It's Out in Field _ is how you find the Twitter and the Instagram. The website's Grunt Baseball, and it has the attachments Out in the Field. Working on switching some things up with that, but right now that's where it stands. So, yeah, that's the best way to find our content. My personal Twitter is JulianGuardi1. Instagram's JulianGuardi11.
Julian, this was awesome. This was really awesome. I was glad to have you aboard here on Fox and Road and kind of break it down for us what's going on here with the MLB offseason.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to seeing how this comes out.
All right. Awesome.